sitting back there going, no, he doesn't. I did want to talk to you guys a little bit about earthly hope versus heavenly hope, right? So to do that, I want to reach into my past because I've only been at this church for probably about 2.5 years. I met my beautiful wife. We got married and we go through that COVID thing. So I've not been able to, you know, meet a lot of people or be with a lot of people. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my past, right? I had this hope, right? This yearning, this dream, this passion, this plan that I truly believed was what God wanted me to go do. God wanted me to fly F-16 Falcons. That's what he wanted me to do. That's what I truly believed up until, you know, somewhere around my freshman to sophomore year, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But let me tell you where this passion drove me, right? I know there's a lot of ladies in this audience right now that are going, but Tyler, you're no Tom Cruise. You're no Val Kilmer, 1984 Val Kilmer, not 2022 Val Kilmer, right? You know, you're certainly no Anthony Edwards, you know, rest in peace, Goose, right? And you'd be right. Those are Navy pilots, right? Air Force pilots look a lot like me. Now, the girls would tell you, goes, you're a big dork, right? And I'll say to them, no, I'm not a dork. I'm a nerd, right? Nerds got skill, right? So, and in that skill, if you know anything about F-16 pilots, maybe you don't, you know, where do they got to go to school? Well, they got to go to a university, and the university's in Colorado, right? It's called the Air Force Academy, right? And I knew to get into the Air Force Academy, I had grades, right? I got the grades, right? I studied hard. I got really good grades. You know, I knew everything you needed to know. So this will even tell you, my mom used to read me the Air Force entry manual when I was really young, right? So that's how passionate it was. I would take things out of the library. For Christmases and birthdays, I'd be like, Mom, just give me anything and everything you can find about the Air Force Academy or F-16. And so she, you know, even 1 year she got me as a present was like these books in the 70s and 80s, and you could build your own little cockpit, right, F-16s, and you could read everything about it. And one of those things that I realized is I had to start writing letters to senators. So in young age, I was writing letters to my senator because they had to write you a letter to get into the Air Force Academy, right? I realized that I had to do those introductions. And most kids, when they're really young, they're praying to be tall, right? Right? Like people would pray, like, God, just make me 6'5", right? Guess what I was praying? God, keep me below 6 feet, right? Because if you know anything about those cockpits, if you get above 6 feet, you ain't getting into the Air Force Academy, right? I was like, God, you got to keep me below. So I was yearning. I had that hope. Keep me below 6 feet. Well, lo and behold, I stay below 6 feet, right? One thing between my freshman and my sophomore year with all this planning, and up until that time, my entire life, that's all I ever wanted to do, right? I had to go to the optometrist, right? And I knew I had to have 20/20 vision. I knew it, right? And so I did everything, glasses, I got contacts, and I'd go back and get that 20, I was working that contact to try to get that 20/20 vision. And once, in that summer between freshman and sophomore year, I sat down to the optometrist, and I think that was like my third or fourth visit to the optometrist because I was like, I gotta have perfect 20/20. And he asked me, why are you coming back? So I told him this story, right? And he said, son, I just put my son is at the academy right now, so I hear you, right? But you do understand there's a difference between corrected and uncorrected 20/20. No, what's the difference? You have corrected 20/20. To be a pilot, you have to have uncorrected 20/20. So all those years of planning and hoping and praying and wanting evaporated in an instant, right? That let me tell you, that ain't heavenly hope, is it? Nope. That isn't what the plan was. So I'm going to share really quick 5 simple truths of heavenly hope. And I had 20 pages and I got it down to 2. So bear with me. Hope is expected. Isaiah 40:31, it says that he assures us the Lord will renew our strength. Even Job, you know, in his worst time, he said, though he slays me, I will still hope in him. He also said, and you will feel secure because there is hope. So hope is expected. Number two, hope demonstrates trust in God. God says, it's not, oh, I hope so. And in my example, I hoped, right? Hope is because he said so, right? The New Testament outlines specifically God promises that we have placed our hope in salvation, the resurrection, which is what we're here to talk about. These promises and redemption of our bodies, putting on the faith and love of the breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet in 1 Thessalonians. Number three, hope is foundational to faith. One of my favorite scriptures and inspirations is Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Do you hear that, church? I'm going to read it to you again. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Hope is not a fleeting feeling. It is not an emotion. Hope is given to us. In Romans 5:3-5 says, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint. Number five, hope is not a gamble. Hope is not a gamble. The hope of Jesus' return in eternal life is as sure as the prophecy already realized and promise kept in his word. Hope in the New Testament means looking into the future with assurance, because in Hebrews it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Number six, hope is a gift from God. Hope isn't up to us. It doesn't matter. It's from him. Hope is a gift. It's deposited through the Holy Spirit. Another of my favorite passages growing up is Jeremiah 29:11. I know they're talking about the hope of Israel, but I look at internal my struggles of life. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Clearly, hope is from God. And last but not least, hope is a plan from God. I'm going to read 1 Peter 1:3-6. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of our Jesus Christ, his Son, from the dead. And in this inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, the inheritance is kept in heaven for you. For who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of salvation that is already ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Remember, there's a difference between earthly hope and heavenly hope. God did not promise us, you know, a great life here. He promises a great life there. Let us pray. Father, we come before you as a church, as brothers and sisters, and we bow and we say thank you so much for that hope, that plan of salvation that your Son laid down so many years ago, that sacrificed his life for ours. Father, we just pray that we take this fruit and this bread, we remember the sacrifice, and that we say all these things, as the church says, amen.